3 o'clock round, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. There is no Mason curse. Actually, you know what I intend to do, John? I am going to bring a world championship back home to Los Angeles. Yeah. That's what I'm going to do.
If you don't, the curse is real. This is the year they're going to win it. I'm completely confident. Matter of fact, I'm sticking with the Dodgers in five. I think that Walker Buehler gets it done tomorrow night. Urias gets it done Saturday. And then Kershaw, in what will be a great reversal of what his career has been like to this point, delivers the game winner on
Wow. I love that storyline. Hey, is Greg Bergman, did he lose his job as Dodgers expert?
No, I think Tommy just asked me to do it for one night. I don't know who's doing it tomorrow night.
How was it? Were you a good follow? Was it good to follow you last night?
I didn't tweet a lot because they were behind most of the game.
Yep.
So I probably sent out maybe between 10 and 15 tweets for the whole game.
You know who's a great follow during a Dodgers game in the World Series?
Whom?
Me, at Venice Mace.
Why are you a great follow?
Because I'm right there. I'm a Dodger fan. I'm right there with you. I'm feeling what you're feeling. You kidding me?
Yeah, but you're kind of you're kind of prisoner of the moment. Did you panic early last night when the Dodgers fell behind?
No, I don't think the Dodgers are out of any game. A four-run lead was not insurmountable. And let's face it, they had the tying run at the plate in the eighth inning. I mean, they were in that game until the end. So, and I thought they nicked up the Rays bullpen a little bit. They broke through a little bit. Homers for Seager and Will Smith and Chris Taylor bombed one out to left field. I mean, there's a stat about the number of home runs that these guys have hit. It is I think they've hit 31 home runs this year at Globe Life Field. They had a couple of games there. They had the NLCS, and now they have the World Series. They hit three more last night. They love this field now. Remember, we thought this field was so big, nobody was going to score. As it turns out, it's become a bandbox for the Dodgers. They were great last night at the plate. It just wasn't quite enough. Blake Snell was very, very good, had his slider rolling. The number, by the way, is 27. Dodgers have hit 27 homers at Globe Life Field this season. I knew it was close. They've played 15 games there, a couple during the regular season. They played there during the NLCS and playing there during the World Series. By the way, the Dodgers have hit 27 homers at Globe Life Field this year. The Rangers, who played half their games there, only hit 30. So the Dodgers almost out-homered the home team, the Texas Rangers. But last night let's face it, the bullpen game was just a mess. It was a mess from the jump. Tony Gonsolin gives up a solo shot to Brandon Lau. There it is, Catman. Brandon Lau, second batter of the game. Dodgers starting a hole. Dustin May comes in. He gets absolutely rocked. And just did not look good in doing it, was hit really, really hard. The most effective pitcher they had last night was Alex Wood. And now I'm gaining, originally I suggested last night, maybe Alex Wood in game six instead of a bullpen game. Now Buster Olney, I think, has suggested that on Twitter. I think it was suggested by Dan Schulman a little bit earlier. So it sounds like that may be the plan. It may be to go Buehler, Urias, back to Kershaw, to Alex Wood, and back to Buehler for a game seven. That's the way I think the pitching is going to go from here.
Sounds right. I wonder, Charlie Morton's been really good. Walker Buehler, at the start of the season, was the Dodgers' number one starter. This was supposed to be his year. It makes for a really interesting matchup tomorrow night. And we'll see who comes out of that with, you know, somebody's coming out of that up 2-1.
Here are a couple of numbers, John. Charlie Morton, 5-0, 0.70 ERA and 5 postseason starts with the Rays. Walker Buehler, 1.89 ERA and 29 strikeouts in 19 innings this postseason. So we're seeing two of the most accomplished starting pitchers in this postseason going head-to-head tomorrow night in game three.
And you would figure low scoring. So, you know, but what do we know? It'll probably be 9-8.
Yeah, for all we know. I remember, in fact, I walked by the ballpark at Arlington, was here for a long time. It's a really nice ballpark. I don't know what they're going to do with it. It's still standing, still looks good.
Yeah,
but I went there.
You know, I thought about something. They should have, in order to keep the bubble tight, they should, you know, yep. They used Houston and Arlington. Why didn't they just send both teams, all the teams to Arlington and use both stadiums?
It's true. They're both ballparks. I don't know why. That's a very good idea. That would have created an actual bubble the way the NBA had an actual bubble.
Right.
That's an interesting idea. The one thing, John, you mentioned, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow night. It could be a high scoring game. I was really excited back when Nolan Ryan was pitching for the Rangers. And I always wanted to see Nolan Ryan pitch. So it was Nolan Ryan versus Dave Stewart. It was the Texas Rangers versus the Oakland A's. I was so excited to see Ryan pitch. A's 11, Rangers 10.
Yeah.
It was just no Ryan lasted 3 innings, Stewart lasted 2 innings. It was just an offensive explosion. So you never know what you're going to get. We can say pitcher's duel tomorrow night, but who the hell knows at this point? I would say if you held a gun to my head, I would say it's a low scoring game tomorrow night. Maybe Dodgers. Tomorrow night is a game that I think the Dodgers are completely capable of losing.
Well, I think the Rays will probably be favored with Morton pitching, but I think the Dodgers win. We'll see. I mean, now is there a scenario if the Rays went up 3-1, would you still stay or would you get out of there?
No, I'm staying till the end.
Even if it's ends badly.
Even if I have to watch the Rays celebrate, yeah. The way I watched the Astros celebrate and the way I watched the Red Sox celebrate. That's not going to happen. I'm bringing a world championship back from Arlington, John.
Yeah, you better, or else people are going to be all over you. You know, okay, Mace.
Yeah.
I don't think you'll do it because you're COVID scared. But,
yeah.
But if you can bring yourself to leave your hotel room.
Yeah.
One of the coolest museums is in Dallas. Have you ever heard of the Sixth Floor Museum?
Oh, yeah, I've been there. That's the one in downtown Dallas.
If you've been there, then you're good. But that's one where you can stand in the window where Lee Harvey Oswald supposedly shot the gun that killed JFK.
Right, and you believe it was actually a shooter on the...
On the grassy knoll. I went down to the grassy knoll. Had to be.
Which is just nothing. Which is just Warren a totally made-up BS theory.
That Warren Commission's full of crap. Including former President Gerald Ford, all a bunch
of
liars.
You stood in that window, John. You know how far it was between the window and the motorcade.
Yeah.
It was close.
Yeah, he had help. He had help from the grassy knoll.
Yeah, yeah.
I've mapped it all out.
All right. So coming up next for you, Buster Olney is going to join us. He is actually doing the games with Dan Shulman and Chris Singleton and Jess Mendoza. I listen to those guys in my ear while I'm actually at the game and watching the game. He's coming up next for you. Great baseball insider. Everything you need to know about Game 3 of the World Series.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
710 ESPN, Mesa in Ireland. It is the day after the Dodgers lose Game 2 of the World Series, 6-4 here in Arlington, Texas at Globe Life Field. And joining us right now, listened to him all night last night with Dan Shulman and Jess Mendoza and Chris Singleton. Buster Olney joins us. Hey, Buster, how you doing? Thanks for coming on.
I'm doing great. I'm surprised by what happened in Game 2. I just had that feeling the Dodgers were just going to roll through, but the Rays drew a line in the sand.
Right, and Buster, that's where I wanted to start. I actually picked the Dodgers in 5 before the series started. I had the same initial feeling that you did. I think they're too powerful offensively, but I circled Game 2. That's the one I was worried about because I thought Blake Snell would pitch well, and the Dodgers did a bullpen game. Now they've got Walker Buehler, we assume Julio Urias, and then back to Kershaw. So I still feel confident about the Dodgers. Am I underrating the Rays, in your opinion?
I do feel like that because they found a way to win Game 2, and I was not as confident as you were about Snell. Like, I you know, he's been so strike zone shy in this postseason. I didn't think he would throw as well as he did last night. You know, they win that game, but not only that, but with these built-in off days into the World Series schedule, they have an opportunity to rest their bullpen. And I think on paper, you know, they do have an advantage in game three. Charlie Morton over the last 4 years has been the best postseason pitcher. He's got a 1.45 ERA in his last nine postseason appearances. So I feel like it swung the other way. I still feel fine about my pick of the Dodgers in six games. But the fact that the Rays pulled out game two, I thought that, you know, that potentially changed the direction of the series.
Last night, the Dodgers got to see kind of the big guns in the bullpen down there for the Rays, Nick Anderson and Pete Fairbanks and Diego Castilla. Does it help to see them now and sort of build up that database for later in what could be a long series?
Without a doubt. You know, they get a firsthand look at their stuff and how it plays, and yes, they are going to have an opportunity to rest today, but the fact is that the more you get them out on the mound, the better it is. If you guys remember back in 2016 when the Indians played the Cubs in the World Series, Terry Francona managed his team in such a way that he basically got the Game 7 of the World Series on the backs of Corey Kluber and three great relievers, Andrew Miller and Brian Shaw and Cody Allen as closer. That kind of reminds me of where the Rays are with their bullpen. You know, those three big right-handers who all throw hard. And already, you know, I think other teams are telling me that they're seeing Frang and Nick Anderson, who was the first guy out of the bullpen yesterday after Snell left the game. So the more that they're in the game, the more the Dodgers pitchers get to see them, the more that they're worn down.
Buster Olney is with us calling the World Series for ESPN Radio. Buster, I think Andrew Friedman is the best executive in baseball. I think that, you know, he's won eight straight division titles. The guy's really smart. But he did make a calculated decision here to kind of clear the pitching decks for his young pitchers. Tony Gonsolin, Dustin May, he knew they would play key roles this year. But when he did that, he got rid of Rich Hill, he got rid of Hyun-Jun Ryu, he got rid of Kenta Maeda, and then earlier this year, he got rid of Ross Stripling. Did he tilt too far the other way? Did he get rid of too many pitchers? Because it seems to me that the Dodgers may be a starting pitcher short in this series.
I agree with you, and I feel like that he did make a mistake by moving Stripling. That surprised me. And look, I'm not sitting in the room, so I can't explain to you the 40-man machinations and why they needed that spot in that time. Maybe they were going to call up somebody, but I think it's pretty clear that they expected that May and Gonsolin would be further along than what we've seen so far in this postseason. And you're right. As we sit here today, it does feel like they're one starting pitcher short, to the point that you do wonder, by the time you get to game six, you know, will Dave Roberts' perspective be a little bit different? You know, Gonsolin and May now have had repeated opportunities to sort of establish themselves, and they haven't been able to do it. Alex Wood looked great last night, and you know he's not afraid, and he's a veteran pitcher. And, you know, maybe that would be something that they would think about going into game six. Hey, you know, we know it didn't work with Dustin May. It does seem like he gets a little, saturated with adrenaline. Same thing with Tony Gonsolin. Maybe we'll try Alex Wood because they are one pitcher short.
Yeah, Alex Wood was their most effective pitcher last night, gave him two good innings. I actually suggested that on Twitter, that maybe Alex Wood in game six would be a good idea. I'm looking at last night and thinking, boy, Dustin May, it's not so much that he's given up hits, it's how hard the ball is being hit. He is fooling absolutely no one. I'm not sure that Dave can go back to him in the series. What do you think?
Well, he's going to eventually have to turn to him in some form or fashion. The thing that always jumps out to me is sort of a body language on the mound and what you're seeing. And what I'm seeing is a young player who's trying really hard. You know, before he made his last start in that series against the Braves, I asked Dave, hey, you know, what's Dustin May like on a day that he pitches? And he said, well, you know, he's super intense. He's got his headphones on. He's locked in. That's not always a good thing. You guys remember Ian Anderson, who started for the Braves in the last run. He just looked like he was going for a walk in the park. You know, different guys handle it differently. And, oh, by the way, it's not a rip to say that someone struggles with that. Lance McCullers Jr., who has a lot of experience, he struggled with it in Game 7 of the American League Championship Series. For years, Roger Clemens struggled with it. It's just something that you need to work through with experience. And I suspect that Dave is taking all that in, his information. And again, I you've tried the two young right-handers, and maybe the next time around you say, well, it hasn't worked either time, so let's try something different.
Buster, depending on who you believe, the Dodgers were considering moving Corey Seager at one point. Now, to be fair, it was probably in a Francisco Lindor trade, so it would have been for another great player. But Seager has really shown up in these playoffs. He's been fantastic, really, on both sides of the field. He's been good defensively, and he's been great offensively. Do you think Seager has moved himself to a position now where the Dodgers are going to try and keep him moving forward?
Well, I'm sure that he's going to be, someone that they would want to keep. But it always comes down, the first question you ask when you talk about some of the lead players is, who's his agent? And you guys know who his agent is. It's Scott Boras.
Yeah.
He takes his clients into free agency. And here's the thing that works, and if I had to guess today, who's the Dodgers shortstop opening day 2022, I don't think it's going to be Seager, and I'll tell you why. In next fall, it's going to be the most extraordinary class of free agent shortstops we have ever seen. You're going to have not only Corey Seager, but Francisco Lindor and Javier Baez, Trevor Story of the Rockies, and there's one other in there too, but and forgive me, the name escapes me, but they're just this mass of great free agent shortstops who are going to be available. And we know Andrew Friedman, and we know that his instinct is not to pay sticker price. And if you are going to re-sign Corey Seager as a client of Scott Boras, you're going to probably wind up paying sticker price once he gets to free agency. I wonder if it's more likely that he's going to sort of plane down, because the other guys, if you wind up with a Francisco Lindor at what you feel like is a better price, or you wind up with a Trevor Story at what you feel like is a better price, that might fit more what their payroll situation is. I just have never known Andrew to pay the most amount of money for any player, and that includes Mookie Betts, who they wound up deferring a lot of his salary with.
Buster Olney from ESPN is with us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. I'm in Arlington. John's back in L.A. Hey, Buster, the guy that has jumped out at me during this postseason for the Dodgers, and he homered again last night, is Will Smith. Will Smith has been in the system, was part of that monumental, I think it was the 2016 class, if I'm not mistaken, draft class, and the guys they came away with. He looks like he is going to be a Dodgers catcher for the next decade.
Monster. And I talked to his college coach at Louisville last year, and he told me this great story about how, they had looked when he was early in his time at Louisville, they looked at him as being a good catching prospect, but maybe not a superstar. And then they had one weekend where they played at Vanderbilt. And the next day, he got a call from the someone who helps to run Team USA. And this person said, yeah, we just got a call from Tim Corbin, the coach at Vanderbilt, and he says that you've got the next Buster Posey. And that was the first time that comparison was made. And the more that you think about it, the more that you look at them and the way they play, it's absolutely a dead-on comparison. Not only do you have the demeanor and the physical size, he's not this big hulking catcher. He's someone who's probably going to last a long time. But you have the simple approach at the plate. I think that probably is what really jumps out at you in watching him in this postseason, is how quickly he's evolved as a hitter. Adding power, hitting to all fields. He just seems absolutely perfect for the middle of that lineup for the Dodgers for year to come.
All right, Buster, last thing for me. I said before game one that I think Kershaw is in a perfect situation in this particular World Series. He's 20 minutes from where he went to high school and where he grew up. It's a Dodger team that needs him. The crowd's not a factor because it's, of COVID. There's nobody there. And maybe most of all, I think he knows this might be the last chance to kind of rewrite this playoff narrative on what has been a Hall of Fame career. Am I falling for fool's gold here, or do you agree with me that Kershaw is going to be solid for this whole series?
I think he's going to be solid, and just as, we always have this conversation. People ask you, as a reporter, what do you root for? And I always say, you root for stories. You don't root for individual outcomes or team outcomes. It would be fun. It would be a fun story if Clayton were to be on the mound in Game 5 with an opportunity to close it out. I personally think that, you know, the whole conversation about how effective he's been in the postseason, that's never going to go away. But he can absolutely blunt it if the Dodgers win the World Series. The comparison that I've been making, you know, Mesa talked about it on the podcast, is to John Elway, you know, yeah. who was this unbelievable quarterback for years and years and years. But you know what? He never won the Super Bowl. And then late in his career, when he wasn't what he was before, the Broncos win the Super Bowl. And it's like that box is checked. And that whole conversation about never having won the big one kind of drifts away. You know, for some people, it never fully goes away. But once you win, then it undercuts that. And you hope that it happens because he's been such a great pro. You know, future Hall of Famer. He's going to be unanimous selection for the Hall of Fame someday. That would be a fun story to cover.
Last thing for you. You mentioned you're comfortable with Dodgers in six. By the way, I'm Dodgers in seven. I think this Rays team's really good. Do you still feel comfortable tomorrow night? Do you feel like that's a Dodger win when you've got Charlie Morton, Walker Buehler on the mound?
No, I actually, tomorrow's game, I would pick Charlie Morton to win, and I'll tell you why. You know, he's been just so good in the postseason, and he's so comfortable. And I love telling my favorite story about Charlie and his personality. And you can't, what's kind of fun tomorrow night's game is that not only are they sort of different pitchers, you know, Walker's got the high fastball and exploding at the end, and Charlie throws a lot of breaking balls, and he's got a two-seamer that moves all over the place. They're very different personalities. You know, Walker, someone just exudes confidence. Charlie, on the other hand, has always been like Pigpen where it's like it's, you know, the way that he thinks about himself. And A.J. Hinch, the former manager of the Astros, told me a great story about when the Astros signed him after the 2016 season. He was coming over from the Pirates. He hadn't had a good year at all. He's in his early 30s, and the Astros offered him a two-year deal, and Charlie sat down with them, and the first question he had, looked over at them and said, "Why would you give me a two-year deal?" He was like shocked that anyone would give him a two-year contract. He's such a self-deprecating, easygoing personality, and I think that really works well for him when we get into October, which his record reflects.
Buster, well, listen, thank you for doing this, man. Always great talking to you.
Yeah, we appreciate it a lot. And don't forget, you can hear Buster as part of our ESPN radio broadcast tomorrow night at 5. Dan Shulman, Chris Singleton, Jess Mendoza, and Buster. Buster, thanks again for doing this. We appreciate it. Know you're incredibly busy at this time of year.
Thanks, guys. Always love talking with you.
He's the best. He is just the best. Buster only.
Now, does he do his podcast? What are you going to do if his podcast isn't available after the baseball season's over? Whose podcast do you listen to instead?
He takes a very long break. We're going into the off season. I mean, normally, if I look at the podcast I normally listen to, it's always Windhorst. It's always Woj. It's always Zach Lowe.
But those guys, Windhorst, Woj, and Zach Lowe will be down for a couple of months.
They're down for a while. And now Baseball Tonight podcast will go down for a while. So it sounds like I'm going to have to listen to Lindsay's best friend, Joe Rogan.
There you go.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with Joe Rogan. He's great.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Go pay him a visit while you're out there in Texas.
I should look for him. Yeah. All right. Coming up next for you, more Dodgers. Again, tomorrow night, I think, is a night that will decide the series, John.
No.
I think it potentially decides the series.
You just stepped on a landmine there, my friend. You've already said you favor the Rays tomorrow night. So you're saying if the Rays win, the series is over?
No, I'm saying if the Dodgers win, the series is over. If the Dodgers can break through and win tomorrow night and beat Charlie Morton, it is a whole new ballgame. It's a whole new ballgame. Then I think if the Dodgers win tomorrow night, your Dodgers in five prediction, I think, could happen.
There you go.
Urias on Saturday.
And Kershaw delivering the game winner. How'd you like that?
Oh, can you imagine if Kershaw wins the deciding game?
Cake!
I promise you, people, I will bring a world championship home from this town. I will bring a world championship home. Mesa and Ireland, 710 ESPN. 710 ESPN, Mesa and Ireland, what is going on? It is Thursday. It is an off day in the World Series. I am in Arlington, Texas. I was at Globe Field for the first two games of the World Series, and the Dodgers are even now with the Rays at one game apiece. John, what I was saying before is that I'm expecting a long series. I'm expecting a seven-game series. I'm expecting drama. The Rays are really good. I like their bullpen. Their rotation's a little bit better than ours. We've got better bats. We've got more experience, all that stuff. But if the Dodgers beat Charlie Morton tomorrow night, who has been absolutely invincible for them, five consecutive starts in the postseason, allowing one run or less, which is a record, if they can beat Charlie Morton, who is their ace, tomorrow night, I think it's a short series, and I think the Dodgers win on Sunday. Okay. How about that?
So I'm picking the Dodgers in five, so I'm completely with you. But here's the thing. I understand Charlie Morton has these unbelievable postseason statistics and is like the hottest player or hottest pitcher in baseball. But it's not like Walker Buehler is chopped liver.
No, not at all.
If you look at him in, he's had three outings.
John, he's got a .189 ERA with 29 strikeouts and 19 innings in the postseason. Right. So Walker Buehler is no slouch.
So I think the Dodgers have a great chance in this game. And I also think, Mace, if you look at the game last night, what people aren't paying enough attention to is that the Dodgers basically didn't show up for the first four innings.
Right.
They were at the end, at the middle of the fourth inning, they were down 5-0 and they were being no hit. If you don't hit for four innings against the Rays and let them get ahead of you 5-0, there's a really good chance you're going to lose. They got a great bullpen. I'll give you, one inning where you don't show up, but I can't remember the last time I was watching a Dodger game and they were being no hit after 3.5. Can you?
No, absolutely not.
They're too loaded.
Way too loaded.
So they gotta come to the plate early, and it seems to me, I thought Blake Snell might have a big game, and I guess Charlie Morton's pitching really well, but I think you gotta get on him, and you gotta get on him early. I'd love to see the Dodgers get a run or two in the first two innings.
Yeah, I'm guessing that probably we won't see runs till the middle innings tomorrow night. I don't think either team will crack the other's ace. And it will turn into who's got the most dominant bullpen. And they've got a great bullpen. They really do. I've looked at these guys and followed these guys, and they've got arms. And Nick Anderson, who's got a .55 ERA during the regular season, Peter Fairbanks, easy 100 miles an hour. Diego Castilla, 99 mile an hour, two-seam fastball. We saw all three of those guys last night, along with Aaron Loop, who's going to be their situational lefty. If we've got a couple of lefties in a row, Aaron Loop will come up and face those. The bullpen is really, really good. The Dodgers are going to have to chip up that bullpen. They're going to have to chop it up. They're going to have to work counts. They're going to have to do the same with Morton, by the way. Chase him from the game as quickly as possible. Disciplined at bats. Work the counts, get multi-pitch, let's see 8-pitch at bats. Let's see 10-pitch at bats during Charlie Morton. Those kinds of things will chase him from the game. We'll get to the bullpen earlier. And I think that's where the Dodgers have their best chance to score.
And the Dodgers love to swing at the first pitch, especially Betts and Seager. They love to swing at the first pitch. So you're right. It would require a certain amount of discipline if the Dodgers are going to go deep into the count.
Like last night, John, Blake Snell threw 10 pitches in the first inning.
Yeah.
10 pitches. Oh.
He should be throwing 10 pitches to the first batter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's what the Dodgers do really, really well and what they're going to need to get back to in game three.
You know, it could be worse than losing game two last night. We could be Padres fans, and our team would be completely out of it.
Oh, those little Padres.
Oh, look, it's time for traffic, and it's our friend Shosh.
Well, you don't answer my text messages, and then this is the way you communicate with me?
Yep,
well,
this is the way we communicate.
Your text message was confusing to me. San Diego loves the Padres.
Whatever.
No, here was your text to me yesterday, Shosh. One of the best remakes ever. Yes. The heavy metal band Disturbed.
Yes.
With their version of Sounds and Sights. Did you mean one of the best covers ever?
Oh, so, well, yeah, because that's what you guys were talking about. I love
that. Yeah, what is
yesterday.
A remake?
Well, no, they remade it.
Right,
remade
but nobody
cover.
Calls
Isn't
a cover
that
the same? A remake is like what I think Mace would be used in a movie, right? Like if you redid a movie, that would be a remake. A song is a cover.
I think you are being picky. What I meant.
This is
remake cover. Exactly. Tomato, tomato. Come on.
But I will listen to your version of Disturbed Sounds of Silence.
Yeah, you will like it. It's
okay,
really
I'll add it to my list of covers. Or as you would
By the way, I've got a great cover. I've got a great cover in my playlist.
What?
It's that San Diego Padres song to the tune of Tupac, California Love. I listen to that all the time. And I just laugh and laugh.
You know what?
Look at these white people are trying to do.
Yeah, and Shosh, this is the last thing I'll say, and then I'll let you get to the traffic.
Go ahead.
Have you ever seen the video for this song?
I told you I tried. It was so bad. It was so bad.
Once you see the video, you will realize that no white guy should ever try and cover a Tupac song.
No, you know what
That's
I say?
It.
I say, bless your heart. When I see
bless
something
your
I don't
heart.
Like, if I ever
bless
say
your
that to
little
you,
heart.
If I ever say that to you, you know what I'm really saying. That's
good
what I
for
said.
You.
Thank
yes.
you.
Good for you. All these condescending.
Oh, good for you.
Oh, that's so good.
Oh, good for
nice
you.
Job.
So cute.
That's right. It's Juego de Juegos, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Jorge continuing to teach me Spanish. Thank you, Jorge. All right, the game today, and by the way, in the month of October, Ireland has 6, Lindsay's got 4, I've got 4, Jorge has 3. That is your scoreboard for the month of October, which is quickly disappearing. And the game today is fact or fiction, just simply fact or fiction.
Okay.
This game is for, let's see, John, Lindsay, and Jorge. And here we go. Here is number 1. Humans have been performing dentistry since 7,000 BC, which makes dentists one of the world's oldest professions. John, is that fact or is that fiction?
Humans have been performing dentistry. That sounds like a fact. I'll go fact.
Fact. Lindsay?
Definitely fiction.
Definitely fiction. Jorge?
Well, Lindsay, fiction.
John Ireland, the only one that takes the point. Yeah. Dentists started working at 7,000 BC.
What did you guys think? They just did nothing with the teeth?
Well, I recently listened to the Joe Rogan podcast where they had an expert on about mouth breathing. And they talked about how they never did dentistry back in the caveman days because people had perfect jaws and perfect teeth.
Well,
because
apparently
we just
not.
Eat everything.
That is not true, according to me. All right. Number 2. The United States eats more macaroni and cheese than any country. Is that fact or fiction, Lindsay?
Fact.
Fact. Jorge.
Fact.
Fact. John.
Mac and cheese. I'll say that's fiction.
It is fiction. Canada is the country that eats the most macaroni and cheese.
I figured it'd be a cold weather country, but Canada's not that cold. All right.
John 2, Lindsay, nothing. Jorge, nothing. The average woman has a 25% better ability to smell than the average man. Is that fact or is that fiction, Jorge?
Oh, that's a fact.
That's a fact. John?
I think it's more than that. They're only 25%. I think you fudge with the number. I'll go fiction.
Fiction. And Lindsay?
I'm going to say fact.
You're going to say fact. John takes the point again. I completely made that up. I have no idea if women smell better than men or vice versa.
I think they do, all right. And it's more than 25%.
John Quincy Adams kept a live alligator in one of the White House bathrooms. Is that fact or fiction, John?
I think it is too weird for you to have made up. I'm going fact.
Fact. Lindsay?
I think it's a fact.
Fact. Jorge?
Oh, I think it's fiction.
Jorge, you are scoreless. Lindsay and John with the point. A French general gave John Quincy Adams a live alligator. He kept it in one of the White House bathtubs and enjoyed showing it off.
Hey, wait a minute. Right. Is Jorge alive for the Curtis?
He is alive for the Curtis. Yes, he is.
How many are left?
Let's see. 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
Good luck, Jorge.
What's the Curtis?
The Curtis is Curtis Point Extra played a game with us once, and he went 0 for 10.
Oh, wow.
He got absolutely none right. No one else has ever done it. You have a chance to be in that Hall of Fame, Jorge. Good luck.
Now,
okay.
It.
This is Lindsay's question. The giant iguana of Mexico has been known to attack people who wear the color green. Is that fact or is that fiction, Lindsay?
I'm going to say that's a fact.
Fact. Jorge.
That's fiction.
That's fiction. John.
I've never heard that. I think you made it up. Fiction.
Completely made it up. don't even know if there's such a thing as the giant iguana. All right. Number six. Hey, John. Wait, five.
Did Jorge get that?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, Jorge got
okay.
that. He's not alive for the Curtis anymore. Okay. All right, two more. I don't think anybody can catch John, but we'll do him. The highest career World Series OPS is 1994, and the record is held by Barry Bonds. Is that fact or is that fiction, Jorge?
That's fiction.
Fiction. John.
No, 1994. What? No, fiction.
Fiction. Lindsay.
I'm going to say that's fiction as well.
That is 100% a fact. What? Barry Bonds, the all-time World Series record for OPS, 1994, 1.994. Second is Willie Akins. Third is Amos Otis. Fourth is David Ortiz. And fifth is Troy Glaus, who had that great World Series in 2002.
I've never heard of OPS that high.
That is an insane OPS. On base plus slugging. That is absolutely crazy, but Barry Bonds did it. All right. It's all closed out, but we'll ask one more. Frank Lloyd Wright, who was the architect who built some of the greatest homes in the world, lived his entire life in the three-bedroom house he grew up in. Jorge, is that fact or is that fiction?
I'm going to say fact.
Fact. John?
No. Can't be a fact. That guy's built like every house known to man. No, he had to live in some of the houses he built. Fiction.
Lindsay?
Yeah, I think that's fiction.
Yeah, that's fiction. I totally made it up. I have no idea where Frank Lloyd Wright ever lived in his entire life. I just made it up. So Ireland goes 6-for-7 in that game.
Yeah, Barry Bonds. I hate Barry Bonds.
And he racks up another win. He's now got 7 wins in the month of October.
And I'm running
crazy.
You guys are running out of days, people.
We are running out of days. The month is short. All right, there is your.
We have those double days, double wins. Remember, we established that.
Yeah.
Towards the end,
that's right.
Two. Yeah.
The last
towards
week,
the end, we can double.
Yeah.
Yeah. The last week. So next week's a big week. You guys can catch
right.
me.
There is your juego de juegos with Game of Games. How'd I do, Jorge?
Muy bien. Muy bien.
Hey, yeah. Plus. Muy bien. Yeah. See. Está bien. All right.
Así, Jorge.
Así, más o menos.
Coming up next. Coming up next. It is Crosstalk with huge Dodger fan LZ Granderson and George Sedano. They will join us for some Crosstalk. We've got a big night tonight here on 710 ESPN. We've got George and LZ, followed by the Rams All Access show at 7, and then Scott Kaplan is doing a show tonight at 8 o'clock, so stay with us all night long. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Matter of fact, I would like to announce that Chris Morales has inspired me to retire from Twitter takeovers.
No!
I did it. They lost. Morales is 100% right. I don't want to cause a problem. I will cede the Twitter takeover to Greg Bergman.
Well, but Travis
so
has to go first.
Allow...
Yeah. Well, I don't care.
Yeah,
I don't care as long as it's not me.
It's just too much extra work, right? You want to hang out
at
the jacuzzi.
Morales has shamed me into giving it up. I'm giving it up.
Yeah, have a Manhattan while you're in the jacuzzi. I get it.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
what's up, George?
I'm good. How are you? I mean, I feel like the Mason curse, not so bad yet, right?
No, not so bad. I feel pretty good about
it.
I intend to bring home a world championship. That is my goal. That is my dream. That is my passion. That's what's going to go down.
I mean, how many years have you been going out to these events where you haven't brought back a title? Like, how far back do we have to go here? Because it's been a number of years since I've been here.
Dodgers Astros World Series.
Yeah.
Red Sox Astros World Series.
Rams. Right?
Rams Super Bowl in
Rams
Atlanta.
Super Bowl.
LAFC.
Are you,
playoff game.
Did you go to the LAFC playoff game
Seattle
too?
Last year? Yeah. I went to the semifinals last year, the conference finals, and they lost.
But no, no.
But I'm 1-1.
Now, yeah. I have a question for you. Have you had the boomstick?
Yeah. I don't even know what that is.
The boomstick. That's
you
the
don't?
3 foot long or the 2 foot long all beef hot dog with the nacho cheese and the jalapenos and the onions.
I was going to challenge you to eat a boomstick and pay you mythical money if you could get it all down.
Lindsay, I think, is coming tomorrow, Lindsay and Carlo, and I think we're going to have an eat-off of the boomstick. I didn't realize that was what it called, but Lindsay challenged me last night.
10,000 in mythic. Lindsay had to get off because we needed to make room for George and LZ, but
yeah.
$10,000 of my mythical money to either one of you or both if you finish the boomstick, but I want video evidence.
There will be video. Carlo Saisu will be there. He's our video ace, so there will be pictures of everything.
No cheating like Sliwa. I want actual.
So, George,
video
how are you feeling about this series?
I feel good. I think they're going to win. I had them in six, so they had to lose somewhere, right? So I feel good about it. I think, honestly, I'm actually looking forward to game three, right? Because you got the Charlie Morton effect. So you got the double revenge game.
Right.
Revenge game?
Well, because the Astros.
Charlie Morton was the lying, cheating, trash can banging Astros.
Yeah, he would have been in on it. Everybody was in on that deal. And by the way, Jeffrey Lunau came out this week and said, I had nothing to do with it. There's evidence. There's proof. There's, you know what? I've read everything I need to read to know that Jeffrey Lunau's sign-off was involved in every one of those moves.
Well, and here's the thing. If you're Jeff Lunau, if you're the GM of the Houston Astros, and a cheating scheme is going on to that level, either you knew about it or you should have known about it, right? To say that I was in the dark and I didn't know about it, that doesn't make you look good, Jeff. That makes you look ignorant. You clearly didn't have control of your own team. If that was going on and you knew about it, then you cheated. And that was going on and you didn't know about it, then you're bad at your job. Either way, you're out. It didn't make any sense to me.
No, that's true. That is not a great defense on his part, sure. I don't understand why that
now,
all of a sudden
here's
is
the thing.
Defense.
They say A.J. Hinch will probably be hired again because
– Yeah.
But do you guys think Jeff Lunau gets hired again?
Wait a minute. By the way, I think Alex Cora is getting hired again, maybe
what about
by the
Lunau?
Red Sox.
Well, I think Alex Cora – I mean, look, I think Hinch and Cora – look, I'm a big believer of you don't want to judge someone by their worst moment if they have a resume of a bunch of good moments, right? You know what I mean? Like, if it's someone who's always – awful, that's different. You know what I mean?
Or, but if they do something like commit a murder, but that's a different thing.
Right, but if there's a consistency to their awfulness, that's one thing. But look, anyone can make a mistake. And look, sports, especially professional sports, forget about professional sports, college sports too, everyone's trying to get an edge, okay? And everyone's pushing the boundaries on these things. We remember Spygate, right? All that stuff.
Well, if you, George, think about this. If you were Alex Cora, you'd walk right in to any job interview you say and say, I'm listening to KSPN Los Angeles.
Ah, I was ready to do it. I was waiting. I was so waiting.
That was so well done. Yeah. So well done.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about the Astros cheating scandal that bothers me is that everybody was in on it. They were all in on it.
Right.
I just have no sympathy there. Okay, so, hey, we got LZ. LZ, you there?
Oh, I've been here. I've been enjoying the conversation.
Okay.
Yes.
So, George, you've been hosting The Jump this week in place of Rachel Nichols. But today, you threw to an interview that Rachel did, a Zoom interview that Rachel did with Ty Lue.
Yes.
Who yesterday was officially announced as the coach of the Clippers.
Yes.
And Rachel asked Ty something, and I want you guys to tell me if you think Ty is being honest.
Uh-huh.
Rachel said, Ty, last year you were offered the Lakers job and you turned it down and then watched as they went on to win the title. Do you regret it? And Ty said, I absolutely have no regrets. I don't live my life that way. I don't think about it. I think I'm where I'm supposed to be. I pray. He said something weird like, I prayed on it. My mom prayed on it and it wasn't right for me. And now I have a great job with the Clippers. LZ, you first. Is he just saying that because he has to say it, or do you think he really means it?
I don't know him very well. So I'm going to take him at his word.
All right, George, what do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe him because he's already got a championship. So, you know what I mean? It's not like it's someone who doesn't have a title. And look, I don't know him very well. Like, I just know my interactions with him when it comes to being on a basketball court. And he just seems like a pretty normal dude. Like, if he's not going to go out there and lie, I don't think. So, yeah, I buy it.
I also buy it, John. Regrets are really useless. Right. He was asked if he has any regrets. Regrets are a pointless thing that take up time and mind space and what's going on in your head, and it's not healthy. So, yeah, it sounds like he moved on. Now, was it a good job? Didn't he get 5 years with the Clippers?
Right.
And he was offered 3 with the Lakers. I mean,
right.
He's
but if he would have won the title
security.
In his first year with the Lakers, I think then they give him a new deal. But
here's the thing, though, and it was something that Coach Vogel had to deal with. There were a lot of strings attached, and unlike Vogel, he had a ring. So right. I can certainly understand why he felt as if he wasn't being valued from his perspective. And we've all, at some point or another, whether it was a relationship with someone or a job opportunity or whatever, we've all been presented something that wasn't quite right. And everyone else around us were like thinking, are you crazy? But it wasn't right for you. And if he said he prayed on it and his mom prayed on it and that's what their spirit told them, then I'm going to believe him.
Okay, George, what do you think Ty Lue's number one challenge is taking over that Clipper job?
Oh, he needs to make sure that there is a pecking order and a leadership and a semblance of accountability, right? Like, I think all those intangible things that – because they have talent. Like, I don't think anyone's denying that part of it. But I think that needs to be established. Like, hey, we looked like front runners last year. And he was there. He had a front row seat to see it. So I think that if anyone's going to have ideas on how to fix that, it should be him. He's also the type of guy – who is not afraid to get in a guy's face. Like, he did it with LeBron plenty. I feel like that stuff should play, a role for him. But I also think when you look at their team, they could use a point guard, like a traditional point guard, just to kind of get them into offense when things get a little stir crazy. But, LZ, you and me and John are in the league.
You're in the league. So, I just texted George this. You guys,
I know. That's why I was going with the bit. So since we're in the league, what do you think, LZ?
One, I 100%, 1,000% agree with you that they need a more traditional point guard, and there are some free agents out there who could help them, but I don't know if they have the money to do it. Like a Rondo, Fred VanVleet. Yeah. Is out there, though I don't think he's a traditional point guard either, nor do I think they can afford him, but I'm not going to discount what Jerry West can come up with because he got Paul George
Is Dragic
Kawhi.
One of those guys, George?
No. Yeah, but I don't see Dragic going anywhere.
Yeah, no, that's not happening. No, what you need is somebody who comes with an edge. And I think Goran Dragic is a very good player, but there's nothing about him that scares me. Not saying that he doesn't have dog in him.
Hey, he came from a war-torn country.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying he doesn't have dog in him. I'm just saying there are different dogs for different pounds, and this pound needs a different kind of dog than Goran.
Right. Oh, you're saying the Clippers. Yes.
Yes.
I would agree.
So that was 7 minutes on the Clippers. Let's circle back to the Dodgers.
It really was longer than what they were in the postseason. So,
Right. There you go.
Yeah. So now you're a passionate Dodger fan, LZ, kind of guy who would drive over a Clayton Kershaw jersey over a loss. You're that kind of guy. You're an emotional, rabid fan. What did you think of last night?
I was cool with last night because I knew what it was. It was an opportunity for us to restart, to reset up our lineup. And the simple fact that we had to stay up until the ninth inning because we still had a chance to win, when they put out their best pitcher and we put out everyone we don't want to start out there for game two, that tells you just how amazing our squad is. We ran out there. We chased out their best pitcher and found a way to stay in a game, rotating a different pitcher almost every inning. Like, I was encouraged.
Yeah, but some of those, were you happy with the buttons that were pushed? Like, for example, Dustin May was hit so hard last night.
Yeah.
I mean, Every foul ball was hit hard. I mean, they were scalding it. I don't want to see Dustin May again in this series in a high leverage situation. I just don't. I don't want to.
Here's the thing with Dustin, and maybe Tony too, but definitely in the case of Dustin, he doesn't have a poker face. Right?
No, not even close.
When he lets it all show,
and it shows, man. It shows. And the other thing too about Dustin is that he was groomed to be a starter, and he's trying to figure out how to be a starter while being used randomly as some sort of relief pitcher, right? So right. He's got a lot going on, and he doesn't have a very good poker face, so you can tell he's got a lot going on. He needs to be able to be utilized as a starter. He needs to know, you know, we're going to go with you for at least five innings and see how you're doing. He needs to know he can make a mistake and not get yanked out.
Hell, LZ, five innings, more than one. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's, I mean, you know, forget about like, five.
Like, what job can anyone do, really, that, you know, at that young of an age in your profession that your boss tells you, you screw up once, you're out?
Well, here's
the thing. That's going to put anyone on edge.
LZ, the boss, the ultimate boss, Andrew Friedman, I think overestimated what Tony Gonsolin and Dustin May and to a lesser degree Julio Urías are capable of. He was counting on those guys. That's why even we let go of Ross Stripling at the trade deadline. Ross Stripling would have been incredibly useful to start in game two last night instead of going with a bullpen
Maze.
No, I'm with you.
Yeah,
I'm with Maze.
Yeah.
Alliance chicken strip.
Wait, we finished chicken with the best record in the league.
I know.
No, I'm aware of that.
We need to win three more games, and we have our three best pitchers lined up to do that.
But, LZ, I think even 60 games, even you know, consider – look, it's what? You know, a little more than a third of a regular
season. Well, they were on
season.
Pace. If the season kept going, they were on pace for 116.
No, but my point is this, is that even 60 games is still more a little – you know, it's like it's not a marathon. It's like a 5K. But the playoffs are like a sprint. You know what I mean? Like, I just think that the entirety of the makeup of what it needs to be is different. And that I'm with Mace. I think that, you know, what did you trade Ross Stripling for?
They felt like Gonsolin and May were better.
They traded Stripling for a bag of beans. I mean, maybe they saw some prospect that they like for the future. But, I mean, the future is right now at this point.
But Dustin May's got the stuff, man. You can see it. He's got the
stuff.
Don't
want to see him again. Don't want to see him again.
He's so young. He's got this. I mean, think about it. He started the year not even on the roster, and then he gets a call. Hey, dog, yeah, we need you to start game one of the series. And he came through.
LZ,
he's been
three bad
around.
Performances in a row. Three bad performances in a row. I don't want to see him in a high leverage situation.
I would say three mediocre performances.
Let me ask you this. Speaking of high leverage situations, the Rams find themselves in a high leverage situation on Monday.
Sure.
Yep.
And you know, they haven't looked so great against good teams, Mace. What are you and the Ramley saying?
Wait a minute. They lost to Buffalo, where they came back and ended up losing on a bad call.
They didn't lose to a bad call.
I think they've looked good except for the San Francisco game.
Yeah, but they've beaten some bad teams. It's not
Wait
like
a minute, LZ. What do you mean they didn't lose to a bad call? That Buffalo call was terrible.
They were down 25 damn points.
The point is they were not beaten badly.
I'm not the dude who's going to overlook our flaws in that game so I can point my finger at the ref over one call. When you're down 25 points, you should lose. Commend them for staying in the game, but I'm not going to yell at the refs because
LZ,
we didn't come through.
You're missing the whole point. He said they haven't played anybody or haven't played anybody well. I would argue they played Buffalo really well. They came all the way back in that game and had a very good chance to win it, call or
but
not.
But do we even know if Buffalo's good? Like, I think they're okay.
I'm pretty sure Buffalo's good.
I mean, I don't know. I think they're above average. Like, I don't even know if they're good yet.
George, you can only play, but I mean, in the end, you can only play the game. I mean, they happen to have the NFC East scheduled for early in the year, the entire NFC East.
Right.
But you lost to a Niners team that's missing like a bazillion guys. I know they got some guys back in the secondary, but.
And we didn't just lose to them. They beat our ass pretty much.
They did kick their ass.
Yeah. We
were awful. We were absolutely awful.
Yeah, and you know who else beat our ass? Chicago two seasons ago.
Yeah, you can't lose to Chicago.
Give me the Rams.
Yeah, Vic Fangio's gone.
Give me the
that
Rams
defense
on
isn't
Monday.
What it was. Yeah, give me the Rams on Monday, too.
Look at
Bears
you. Are you guys putting mythical money on that, too?
Sure, I will.
Yeah, I've got them in a parlay. I've got them in a three-team parlay. I'm wagering,
you're doing
man.
Three-team parlays on mythical money now?
I'm doing a sucker bet, a three-team parlay.
Wait, hold on a second. Do you know how complicated that is for poor Lindsay for you to do three-team parlays on Mythical
Money?
George,
I've been doing it for years. I'm 100 grand ahead of everyone else because I do parlays.
Go big or go home, Ireland.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, what? Hold on. What about the Raiders? Your whole offensive line's got COVID.
Yeah. Did you hear what happened to that game today? That was supposed to be the Sunday night game, and they moved it to 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Because they want to protect the Sunday night slot. So that game could get canceled.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's we knew this with the NFL because of their stubbornness, their unwillingness to consider a bubble, even though every sport that used the bubble has been able to come through on the other side. I don't know why they won't consider it, but they haven't. So
yeah,
we're just going to have to deal with this for the whole season.
Yeah, it's just stubborn. That's all it is.
We're probably going to play 18 weeks, and they're going to make up games in that 18th week.
Yep.
That's the only way to do it.
Provided the second.
All right, guys. Well, I'm gonna call it a night. I've got.
What
a big
are you
night
doing?
Plan.
Hold on. What is the night like over there for you? Like,
I am not
leaving. George, he's not leaving his hotel room until he leaves for the game tomorrow.
I'm now, gonna paint the town beige. I'm gonna
wait. Before we go to Shosh, okay? I need to know. Like, are you ordering room service? Like, what are you doing?
Yes. I'm gonna have
for
a ribeye steak.
Consecutive meal.
I'm gonna have a ribeye steak. With mashed potatoes and a piece of carrot cake for dessert. And I'm going to watch. Apparently, there are two guys that are going to be arguing on TV tonight.
Oh,
I'm going to
watch
the big argument.
Yeah. So before you, when you watch the big argument after you're done, if you want, have any of you guys, did you see last night on HBO 537, the HBO documentary about the 2000 election?
No.
You should watch it. It was on last night. It's probably now on demand on HBO. It's excellent. My guy, Billy Corbin, who did Cocaine Cowboys and the couple of the 30 for 30s, the U and what was the other one he did? The U2, but he did another one after that. Anyway, it's really good. Like, it's really, really good. 537 HBO documentary about the 2000 election. Came out yesterday.
I will look for it. We'll look for it. We're back tomorrow. We'll get you ready for game number 3 tomorrow night here in Arlington, Texas. Walker Buehler versus Charlie Morton. And what do you guys got coming up?
Oh, we got a big show. We got a busy show. So we got Key coming up at 5. We got our buddy Clint Yates at 5:30. We got A-Rod at 6 o'clock.
Wow.
And then Mark Anthony Kay, our buddy Mac from the LAFC.
Excellent. Excellent. So all that's coming up for you. Then Rams All Access followed by Scott Kaplan tonight. So stay with us. We're back tomorrow at 1.